Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Every Thursday, we check in with Hall of Famer Bill Hillgrove, and he's emanating from Conneaut Lake, just fresh off his latest boat surfing or some kind of love it.
Actually, Larry, that? I returned home yesterday and will be here for about 9 days and then back up again. We go back and forth.
Yeah, that's a nice place to hang out. I know. You can see Bill, by the way, on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company, and on our new KDK Radio YouTube page. So Paul and I, we're just talking back and forth, and we said there's been so many changes with the Steelers roster here in the offseason. We're just 2 weeks away from players reporting to Latrobe. And I said, if you walk downtown Pittsburgh, Bill, and said, who's the starting running back for the Steelers? Even the most ardent fans would be like, I'm not sure. And Jaylen Warren maybe would be one answer, but we're not sure about the other guys yet. And then Paul has a question about the trade they made with the Dolphins.
Yeah, Bill, the exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick and Jalen Ramsey, how do you break that down? Who came out ahead on that deal?
I think it's tough to gauge, but I think, you know, considering the year that Minkah had last year, which, you know, he seemed to disappear at times, and that made you wonder whether he fits the Steelers scheme well. And so maybe this change of scenery for him will be good. And I like Jalen Ramsey. I think the guy is he's a gamer, sometimes gets a little heated with the opposition. I do believe that the guy's going to help the Steelers. And now with Darius Slay in the mix and, of course, Joey Porter, the young guy, I think they're pretty well set at corner. So I like the deal. At first, I wasn't sure, but then I really looked at it and said, yeah, it makes sense.
That said, there are a lot of new faces on the team. I think there'll be as much interest going into camp, Bill, as there's been in a long time, just from pure curiosity.
Fans will need a program to keep track of the new people, and I think that's good too. I think it this franchise needs a shot in the arm, and I think Omar Khan did his best to give it to him in the offseason, so let's see how it works out.
And that said, let's switch gears. By the way, 2 weeks from today, fans will be able to go to camp in Latrobe. 2 weeks from yesterday, players and coaches will report. Let's talk about the All-Star game in Major League Baseball. No surprise, Paul Skeens. I feel for this young guy because he's pitched out of his mind and he's not getting the results. It's crazy.
Yeah, I heard a good line from somebody the other night that said, who are the two best pitchers in baseball? Paul Skeens and his opposing pitcher. You have to think about that.
Right? Yeah.
But I think it kind of hits it on the head. It's just one of those crazy things. And then, you know, last night followed the script from the previous night. Late home run, they go down the tubes. And, you know, it's almost like a crime drama that you watch on television with the same plot back to back. Although in this case, the players are all basically the same. You know, I feel bad for Mattson. He's a former Pitt Panther and an Erie kid, Harbor Creek. And, you know, that's two nights in a row where he suffered, he just suffered bad things.
Bill, as long as we're on the topic of the All-Star game, O'Neill Cruz, to me, is an enigma. He'll probably do pretty well in the home run derby, but that won't translate to when he comes back to play regular games again, will it?
Well, you know, he's an enigma. You know, the home runs and the hard hit balls and the hard-thrown balls are one thing, but I think the guy has suffered too many strikeouts, and he's got to be more selective. He swung at a pitch last night that had to be a foot and a half away from him out of the strike zone, and you just can't do that. You know, is it a sign that he's guessing? Maybe, but, you know, I just think he's got to work on that strike zone. They all should take a lesson from Andrew McCutchen, how to be patient at the plate. Because they do suffer too many strikeouts.
You know, Andrew McCutchen, you know, people were questioning, oh, should he come back? But He's been steady, and you know, I think he's an anchor, I'm sure, in the clubhouse, because they won those six in a row in dramatic fashion. Now they've lost six in a row, and the highs and lows of this team have been tough to take, certainly for the fans, but for the players too, I'm sure it's not been fun.
Yeah, you remember I said when they embarked on the road trip that, you know, Kansas City was a couple of games below 500 or around 500. So was Minnesota. And then the Seattle Mariners, I didn't expect them to get completely shut out over the weekend. And the disturbing thing it was the fact that I think for the weekend, the only runner past second base in Seattle happened on the final game. And, you know, that's just not acceptable. You thought the bats had awakened, but now they're asleep again. And I guess it's an all too recurring problem.
And, Bill, before you go, I want to recognize the passing of Tim Rooney, as you know, former scout and nephew of the Chief, who passed after a battle with cancer at the age 84. He has five Super Bowl rings to his credit as part of the scouting staff.
Yeah, in terms of being a super scout, he almost is like young Art Rooney. It was just, even to this day, he kind of dabbles in scouting. But, you know, the thing I remember about Timmy Rooney when he was on the Steelers staff is that he talked everybody into drafting Jack Lambert.
Good idea.
I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah, to his brother Tom, who I know very well, and the entire Rooney family are thoughts and prayers with them in the passing of Tim. All right, partner. We'll talk to you next Thursday. I always appreciate our time with you, Bill. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
You're looking good, man. You're looking great.
Oh, thank you.
Spry, ready for the season.
I'm ready. Bring it on.
All right. Hall of Famer Bill Hillgrove on the Big K Morning Show. And I do love our conversations with Bill. Paul, every week, I treasure and cherish our conversations with Bill.
He makes good sense. He's a great overview of what's going on. He's been following it for so long. It's encyclopedic memory about what's gone on before.
He's seen more football games than anyone I know.
Yeah.
Period. Pro and college.
And not just some of the games sweeping through TV. All of the games.
All of them.
Right?
Yeah. It's in studio from our newsroom.
Good morning.
Good morning, T. What's
Good morning.
Trending?
Do you like butter on your toast?
Yes, I do.
Okay, there's a butter controversy.
What? No, I don't want to hear about butter. It's because I like butter.
You like... Take a listen.
Just wondering what everyone's opinion is on my toast butter, because I've got one stick of butter for like other things. And then I've got one stick of butter that I use for toast. And basically, I just rub it on like this instead of using a knife. It just feels easier. When the toast is warm, it just melts in. And then a little bit of crumbage. Does that offend people, or what's her thoughts?
Does that offend you?
Anyone else do this?
What offend me?
She takes the butter and she uses the butter instead of slicing it with a knife and spreading it on her
toast.
She just takes the butter and rubs it on her toast and spreads it on her toast.
If I lived by myself, that would be okay. But no.
You think something's wrong with that?
I don't want people touching my butter.
I mean, then you place your butter and then you place it back into the refrigerator and you could use it for a number of other things. But people are, it's like it's...
Same thing with corn, when people put a stick of butter out to butter their ear of corn.
Yes.
And then everybody's doing the same thing. That's okay.
You think that's okay?
Yeah. How else are you going to do it?
To butter your corn?
Or are you going to get one of those squeezer things that's that fake butter you spread on?
I'm just not into using, you know, I mean, butter or jelly or anything. You just like use a knife and spread your butter onto your toast. Don't use...
Yeah, but then when you put the knife back in to get another slice of the butter, you're getting crumbs on it.
No. No, you're not spreading. Whatever. Whatever.
I didn't know it was a controversy.
Oh, it is a controversy. Is it ever okay to vacation with one child while leaving the other at home?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you. I have three kids, and over the years, I talked to a gentleman. He had three daughters, and he said, you know, I do this day trip or a couple days where I take just one-on-one, dad and daughter, and right. we do something together. Could be an overnight local trip, could be something. And over time, I try to do that once a year. You get that one-on-one time.
Right.
So I would say under circumstances, yeah.
You think it's okay?
Yeah.
As long as
you're being equal.
Well, that's what I was going to say. People on social media are saying if you can't take the whole family, you can't take everyone together, then you just shouldn't go because you make one child feel as if you're doing more on a trip with one of your kids and not the other. So, I mean, I felt guilty of that when I have three kids.
Two daughters and a son, but correct. It depends on their age and what they're doing.
Now that right. they're a little bit older, but I mean, my kids, Jasmine, my firstborn, is just the baby of the bunch. And it's like, you didn't take me. You didn't ask me. It's like, well, you have a whole life.
You're getting pushback on
years
this
old.
Now.
I'm going to see this. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm a part of that. And.
Uh-oh.
Creators. Time came out with the top 100 creators, like content creators, 2025. Like some of the names on here, I don't even know. But it seems to me now that kids are no longer even having a desire to go to college or to go to a trade school. Everyone wants to be a content creator. I mean, there are people who are making millions of dollars by doing this, but we didn't have this option. Well, I know I didn't have the
option. Well, therein lies the rub. The twist is that's what they're into is the social media. That's what they see. And they see like Mr. Beast is this phenomenally successful online influencer, right? And they think, well, he's making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. I don't need to like go to school or get a job.
I mean, that's the new wave. I mean,
but
people feel like
so
they can,
few. It's almost like saying, I want to be a professional athlete. That's great
that's,
if you
yes,
can.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Paying these guys ridiculous amounts of money.
I mean, they get all kinds. I mean, they have trips, houses, cars. I mean, they get it's an enormous amount of money.
In baseball, the contracts are guaranteed. They're paying guys $1/3 billion to play baseball. And if the guy gets hurt the next day after signing the contract, they still got to pay him.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I want that job.
Me too. I want that job. Well, Kai Cenat, he's an influencer. He came in at number one, and I was trying to look to
number
see some of the
one?
Number
what does
one.
He do?
Like, he's on there. He's on social media. He does the live. He's at home. You can see everything that he does. People follow him.
What's his name?
Kai. K-A-I Cenat. C-E-N-A-T. Kai Cenat. Olivia Dune, she came in at number five. Kai Cenat was number one. Joe Rogan is on here. There were some names. It's like, who are these people? But I'm guessing they're making a lot of money. So I guess in my next lifetime, Larry... He's on TikTok. He has YouTube. He has a huge following. My daughter, Kayla, she follows him. I mean, it's all ridiculousness, if you ask me. He shows up anywhere and everywhere. And
well, let me share something with you. I've been getting a deluge, and I don't know why, with emails saying that somebody wants to give you $5 million, $10
million. To do what?
Nothing.
To do, it has to,
here's
you have
one
to
that
do
just
something.
Came in. USA, $12,800,000 approved for you. Says, just give us all your information and we'll send you the money.
Google?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm not
well,
doing that.
You know, people, you know, older people who are on social media, they look at these kinds of things and they get these emails and
they get sucked down the rabbit
hole. They get sucked in a hole, yeah.
That trending with tea.
Take me on vacation with you.
We did that.
Oh, God, here we go. It was like 1930.
We were on the inaugural Disney
oh my
cruise.
God. You see what's happening on these cruises now. They're banning fans and they're banning hip-hop songs. And it's.
Did you hear Aaron and Paul were talking about the Miami nude cruise?
Oh, yeah. Well, then there's that.
Thank you, T.
You're welcome.
And just announced seconds ago, Paul McCartney, who opened PPG Paints Arena, is coming back November 11th. And it's called the Got Back Tour instead of Get Back.
That's a cute fall concert to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. So a limited number of exclusive Paul McCartney VIP packages available, and you can check it out. Tickets go on sale Tuesday next week, July 15th at 10 a.m., before the general sale of July 18th. So there you go. You ever seen Paul McCartney? I'm guessing not.
I have not. Maybe I need to get tickets.
I had a chance once in my career to interview him, all set up to do a 101 for TV, and he got sick. I think he made it. He actually did get sick. But that would have been really cool to interview Paul McCartney. Coming back November 11th. All right. There has been many years now, controversy about bike lanes in the city of Pittsburgh. And someone who's a big advocate is the executive director of Bike Pittsburgh. Bike PGH, Eric Bohr is with us. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How's it going? Nice. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, because you know this better than anybody, right? The acrimony over the bike lanes, and so you're an advocate. Give us your pitch, why you think bike lanes are a good idea and expanding from where we are now to where they want to be, particularly in the Strip District.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so the reason we push for infrastructure like bike lanes is to make sure that everybody in the city has a chance to get around safely. You know, about a quarter of Pittsburgh households have no access to a motor vehicle. And so, you know, it's really important that it's safe and accessible for people to get around, get to work, get to, you know, shop, get to groceries, get to the doctor in ways that don't require a motor vehicle. And so when the streets are built around the motor vehicle, it only allows for, you know, motor vehicles, and it makes it safe for like basically everybody else. So we've been on a mission since 2002 to help make the streets safer for bicycling and walking. But, you know, so this really, you know, culminated under the Ravenstahl administration. Peduto, you know, kept it going. And then, you know, Mayor Ganey, you know, is continuing on this plan. So the city has what's called a 10-year Bike Plus plan that was adopted in 2020. And, you know, we're currently working to push to implement that plan. And so, yeah, I mean, basically, you know, for what it's worth, you know, I also drive a car, you know, and for me as a driver, you know, when there's bike lanes, you know, on the street, it actually makes it easier for me as a driver because there's not a bicyclist in front of me. So it's sort of just like, it's one of those things where we're just trying to make sure everybody has a place on the road.
I didn't realize it's been that long since you've been doing this, and the push is, yeah, and I know that the mayors have taken a lot of heat, particularly Peduto over it, doing the bike lanes, but many of the areas around the city have now been reconfigured. Where else, and I know the Strip District is one area you'd like to see transformed for bike lanes. How would that work? Give us some idea. Most people know Penn Avenue. Most people know Smallman Street.
Sure. Yeah. So as everybody probably knows, in 2014, the city installed the Penn Avenue bike lane from the Strip District, 16th Street, all the way to the Point. And, you know, people thought it was going to be doom and gloom, but it ended up, you know, obviously helping bicyclists get around downtown, but it also helped a lot of, you know, pedestrians. For instance, pedestrian crashes completely dropped. You know, it actually improved traffic at certain intersections. You may remember when there was the outbound lane on Penn, there was always a bottleneck at 16th Street because everybody was trying to, you know, turn left on the 16th Street. Well, it eliminated those kinds of things. So it actually had other benefits than just for bicyclists. And then obviously it got bicyclists out of the way of motor vehicles. So since then, we've been pushing to connect that bike lane to other parts of the city. So they did connect it toward the north, you know, into Allegheny Commons, and then, you know, continue on up to Brighton. You know, they connected it to the south side, you know, to the Smithfield Street Bridge. But it's never been connected for the residents in the eastern neighborhoods, such as Lawrenceville, Bloomfield, Polish Hill, Hill District, et cetera, to be able to connect to that really good infrastructure downtown. And so, you know, the city's been trying to figure out a way to connect to that Penn Ave bike lane using the available streets of, you know, through the strip. There's currently right now 14 lanes for cars through the strip district, you know, if you include the parking lanes. And so what we've been trying to get the city to do is take one of those lanes and turn and give it to bicyclists. And so the current proposal is to connect or is to reduce Penn Avenue to one lane for cars and then another lane for bikes between 31st Street and 22nd Street. The parking would remain basically exactly as it is today, although the parking would be moved out a little bit. Now, the reason that they're also doing this is because Penn Avenue has a really big history of crashes. And the reason there's a lot of crashes is because, quite frankly, there's aren't a lot of cars on it, so cars are able to drive very fast on it, leading to crashes, leading to injuries with pedestrians, because, as we all know, the strip is a great pedestrian area. And so this the project that they're doing is what they're calling right sizing. And so they're, you know, they studied the amount of cars that are going through there, and a street like Penn does not need two lanes of, you know, two lanes for car traffic, you know, similar to, you know, a lot of other streets in the city. Vaughan Boulevard, for instance, has two lanes for, you know, for cars in each direction. And so, the numbers just don't add up. So they were trying to figure out a way to right size Penn Avenue, improve the safety for all road users, because if you slow cars down to do the speed limit, then you get fewer crashes, but also put some pedestrian improvements in it.
So where does this go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, okay. And then the final thing is, while they're looking to redesign it, they're taking the opportunity to work with the businesses along the corridor, the affected corridor, I should say, and figure out where exactly they need loading zones. Because as we all know, if you go through the strip, a lot of the trucks just park in the middle, you know, in one of the lanes and load, you know, which kind of, you know, is weird. It's, you know, creates weird situations where cars have to zigzag back and forth. And so they're trying to figure out, where exactly do these businesses need loading zones so that we can don't have to deal with that issue also. So just a whole suite of safety improvements that they're looking to do.
And when do you expect to hear final word on the game plan?
That's what we're all waiting for.
Okay.
To be quite honest. Yeah, we don't know. You know, as far as we know, the city is still working with the businesses, especially in the affected corridor, to see exactly what they need. They're working with public safety, working with fire to make sure everything, you know, can work.
All right. Well, we'll see where it goes. Appreciate you explaining your thoughts. Thank you, Eric.
Sure thing.
Eric Bohr with Bike Pittsburgh. He's the guy. He knows.